lost to ignorance and confusion. Three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
And Janice.
This just in, it's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil for this Tuesday, April 5th, 2016, streaming to you live on CJRU 1280 AM on your radio dial in Toronto, Canada. Of course, Song Talk Radio is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters all about the craft of songwriting. They can be fresh newbies or established professional songwriters or anything in between. And together, we will share tips, we will share techniques, and we'll share some cool things. And together, we will all become possibly just a little bit better at writing songs. Tonight, I'll be your host. My name is Phil Emery, and joining me tonight, as always, is our very dedicated members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team. Action figure soon to come. Yeah. On the board tonight is Neil Modi.
Good evening, everybody.
Mr. Bruce Harrett.
Yes, I'm not on the board. Hi.
Not on board. And of course, manning our social media onslaught is Janice Ho.
Hello there.
I think that's womaning.
Womaning, yes. And of course, we'd like to thank, welcome our newest crew member, Nicole DiDonato.
Perfect.
Yes, thank you for coming here. She's going to be working on the board.
Yay.
Yes. Don't forget, we always want to hear from you, the home listener. So please send your thoughts and complaints and corrections to feedback@songtalk.ca. And don't forget, you can find us on Twitter at Song Talk Radio. And during the show, you send us your thoughts and comments and questions and probably tonight corrections, and we will share them with the audience in real time. Don't forget, you can face us on Vinebook, and you can also find us on Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio. And now you can subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast feed via the iTunes podcast directory or at Stitcher.com. Don't forget, please leave a review there because it helps other people find the show. And if you don't, Neil will cry, so don't do that. And don't forget to always stop by the website at songtalk.ca and find out how you can be a guest on our show. And speaking of guests,
we have one.
We have none, yes.
None.
It's going to be an interesting show tonight. We're going to be talking about chord substitutions, which is sort of... So this is going to be an all-theory. This is an all-family show. There's no guest. It's just the family, so...
Yes, I think every once in a while it's good to talk about
it. It's good
theory.
To break out of the...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so we can relax, you know, we can just do whatever we want to do. But I want to make a confession, as probably everyone has known, that, of course, my name has been found in the list of the Panama Papers.
The
external tax havens account, which I have, and of course mine's listing well into the $25, but I will not resign. I refuse to resign regardless of the protests.
Yeah. Are you talking to your accountant about it? Or are you...
I will if he'll answer my calls.
Okay.
So I'm hoping.
Good.
So
play
yeah.
tax man.
So one of the great things about chord substitutions is it helps you actually take fairly straightforward chord progressions and make them more interesting.
Yeah, add a little color.
So now you've been pushing this show for a while, Neil.
Yeah, because I guess subconsciously I've been doing it myself, you know, for quite a long time, but I never actually knew that it was called chord substitutions until rather recently. So one of the more recent songs I wrote that we actually presented on the show last fall actually deliberately set out to do a little chord substitution.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it behooves us to say specifically what we mean.
Does it behoove us? It does behoove us?
It behooves us.
I don't know where we're allowed to say behoove on AM radio.
Well, we can now.
Okay. Before 9 o'clock.
So, I mean, I guess my definition, or the way that I see it, is just like Phil said. If you have, you know, a certain chord progression that you're working with, and you want to add a little bit of color, a little bit of interest to it, then you can take one of those chords, or one instance of one of those chords, and substitute it with a related chord. So it's not a random, you know, you're not just picking a chord out of thin air. It's something that's related to the one that you're working with.
Would it be like in the circle of fifths?
It could be in the circle of fifths. It could be a related minor. It could be...
So that's when they say relative minor?
Yes.
That's what it...
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the idea is that it's, you know, you can get really, really complicated. And if you go onto YouTube, there's lots and lots of videos you can find about chord substitution and jazz substitutions. And they can be very, very complicated.
Complex, yes.
But these, what we're going to be dealing with today is fairly straightforward stuff and, you know, fairly minor. But one thing I forgot to mention is not only is this a great family show, just the family, this is actually our first official show on 1280 AM. On the radio dial.
We're broadcasting now.
Yes, we are terrestrial.
We are broadcasting, yes.
You know, does it feel different? I don't know. It's a little, there's something in the air.
The curtains are a little more red.
That's true.
The curtains look more red?
Yeah.
So this is one of our milestones, I guess. We should, you know, remember we're started on 1280 AM.
And then, we've been here like 2.25 years streaming.
Yes,
and
yeah.
Now we're actually, we can imagine the people out in their cars or their homes listening to us live.
And, you can still hear the stream and, of course, the podcast, but... you know, you can actually hear us in real time, which is kind of exciting. Because I guess the next milestone we'll have is show 200, which will be in a
which
will be in a while.
It'll be in a while, so
yeah, another year. Or so.
So we better enjoy this
for our listeners at home who play different instruments. Like some play piano, some play guitar, some play trumpet, some play, you know, maybe uke. Does chord substitution, does it apply to all instruments?
Yes.
Yeah, because chords are chords, no matter what instrument you're playing.
Okay.
And music is music, no matter what instrument you're playing.
But a sax doesn't play a chord.
A sax doesn't play a chord, but if you're playing a song, or if you're writing a song, you're certainly going to be thinking in terms of chords and harmonies and things.
Yeah, I think this is really a songwriting thing.
So it doesn't matter, like, in a case of a guitar and a piano, which we're going to demonstrate tonight, you're actually creating a chord, and it'll be a new chord.
Yes.
But then, would the saxophone also, with that different chord, that relative minor, would they play something
They'll solo using different kind of chords, so they'll actually use that when they're doing the soloing, but that's kind of a different kettle of fish.
Okay. Yeah, and certainly, the depending on the chord, the melody could differ.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So we're talking about songwriters who use guitar and piano mainly. Where they're creating chords, and every songwriter knows who plays guitar. I mean, the first chords I learned were C, A minor, F, and G, and that progression. And that's like an old rock and roll, that kind of thing, right? So you're saying, like, instead of C, A minor, instead of the F, I could do an F seventh or something.
Yeah.
Kind of like
An F to an F7 would be like a chord extension.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. You're still playing an F, a variance of the
F. So what's
the
relative
chord.
Minor on an F? F minor?
Well, actually,
too eager.
It's on Twitter as well, but if you look at your circle of fifths that are provided, if you look at the pi segment that has the F on it.
Hold on, I gotta find mine.
It's so colorful, Neil. This is beautiful. It's like a rainbow of colors here.
Yeah, so I'll hold it up to the microphone.
F of the relative.
Mine's black and white.
It's D minor. It's just go down the pi, and you know what your relative minor is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But one thing we'll be talking a lot about is chords. The way they talk about it in the Nashville system, which is numbered chords as opposed to actually specific chords.
Right.
Would you mean a 1 and a 4 and a 5?
Yeah, so let's take... I've got my guitar here.
Everyone can see.
Yes.
It's a nice guitar. It's brown.
Thank you. It is.
It's Takamine.
It is. And so I'm going to go into the key of G, just to start off. And this is the standard...
1-4-5?
Well, no, this is the standard scale, G scale.
Okay.
So this would be the root, which is the G. So you'll often hear people say 1-4-5. So what they do is they build a chord off the root, which would be 1.
G.
Yeah, and then 4 would be 2-3-4, C. And then 5. So it's 1-2-3-4, and then 5. So that's what they call the Nashville system. And that it's a very handy way of communicating with other musicians, because you say, well, it's a 1-4-5 progression, and they know it's going to be that those relationships. Because 1-4-5 in the key of A, and the key, which would be 1-1 in the key of A would be A, and the 4 would be D, and the 5 would be E.
Right.
So that's a Nashville system. And
it's like I would count that, like I go A, B, C, D is 4, E is 5. So it's also very easy alphabetically to do.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Unless you start on a F, you go, so it would be F, G, A, B, and C.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So and it's just, it's good to get your brain out of sort of thinking of specific notes and thinking about chord patterns. There's another couple of, another thing to talk about, the Nashville system, is how the chords are, which ones are major and minor. In a major key, the one chord, and I'll go back down to G again, the one chord will be G major. The two chord, which would be A, will be A minor. And the three chord, which is B here, that's a minor. And the four is always major. And then the five is major.
Well, those are C and D major?
Yeah. Okay. And then E would be E minor. And then usually people play the seventh as a minor, although it's supposed to be a diminished, but you know, we'll get to that.
F, is that F now?
After that would be F-sharp.
F-sharp, yeah. Okay. Wow, that's really cool. And can you give another example of numbered chords? Is 1-4-5 one of the most popular? What's the second most popular?
Six.
One?
Six.
No, six what?
Well, the sixth six. Chord.
1-4-6.
Yeah.
Well, 1-4-5 and six.
Is that it? Would be this one, which would be E.
So what's C, A minor, F, and G?
That's 1-6-4-5.
Oh, 1-6-4-5.
Yeah, because you can use the numbering system in any, basically any key. Yeah.
Okay.
So when you'll hear, we'll say, well, you know, you're substituting the 2 for the 5, where you're saying, instead of going... So we're going 1-5-1-5-1-2-1-2. So.
So what? How do we do substitutes then? Can you give an example of a
substitute? Well, he just gave you an example.
Oh, okay.
So, the example he was just showing, say you were going from the 1 to the 5. So if you're in G, you're going from the G to the D, and you're just alternating between those two chords. Mm-hmm. If you want to introduce a third chord, then you can go to the 2, which in the key of G, that'll be A minor.
So instead of the 5, you're going to the 2.
Yeah, and it works really well with your melody as well. Sometimes when you're just doing just the chord itself, it's kind of hard to hear how it works. But if you're singing a melody on top of it, you could hear it.
And it's always, and context is very, very important here, right? It's always what you're doing before and after you do the substitution that gives the substitution its value.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you substitute a chord from the beginning of your song to the end of your song, then it's not really a substitution. It's always relative to what you were doing before the substitution.
Right. Well, why don't you show us some stuff on the piano?
So,
yeah, we got a piano hooked up tonight here, thanks to Michael.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Michael.
Technical specialist.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow. Sounds like a concert grand.
Exactly. So, the first substitution that I was talking about at the beginning of the show was just a relative major to the relative minor substitution. So in a song that I wrote, I had a chord progression where I started with, I was writing in a minor key. So I was starting with an A minor, and the second chord in the verse part was a D major. So I was going back and forth. Which is perfectly good for a verse progression, right? Mm. But what I thought, instead of doing that four times, why don't I substitute the D major? You know, if I look at my circle of fifths, if I go to the D major on the outer circle and step inside the pi, I end up with a B minor.
Yes.
And you can go to the website and get the circle of fifths. It's actually right on the website.
It's on the website. It's on our Twitter as well.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So in that case, the A minor D progression then changes to an A minor B minor progression.
Ah.
Right? So then I end up with a, that's the D, A minor, D. Now I'm going to do the substitution.
There it comes.
Oh. And then go back to the original one.
Oh, just just a little spice.
So it's just a little bit of a variance, and only did it on the third line out of four lines.
Right, and you wouldn't really, if you're not a musician or writer, you wouldn't notice, but you'd notice something.
You notice something a slight difference.
Different, yeah.
Right, and you can vary your melody slightly there. But the nice thing about it is that because the D major and the B minor, the D and the F sharp are actually common between those two chords. There's only one note out of the three notes in the chord that's changing.
Yeah.
So chances are your melody may not even have to differ
very much. You know what this reminds me of? I have a little bit of training around classical music, right? And the classical approach is theme and variation, right? When you look at Baroque, you look at Mozart, and you look at the classical forms, it's all about they establish a theme, and then they do a variation on that. It could be another movement. It's a variation on the theme that's been established, right? And I suppose many songs are the same. That's what that seems like. The first two patterns are the theme, and then you do a variation on the third line, and then you come back to the theme.
Yes.
So theme and variation all in a verse. It's lovely.
Yes, exactly.
Right? So it adds interest. It's a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And then as well, for that same song, in the in the chorus structure, I went back and forth between a C and an F. Pretty basic. Just that's the one and the four. So that's pretty straightforward.
Let me guess what you're going to replace C and an F.
Yeah. So then, but
G
then
minor?
Exactly. So in the end of the chorus before I go into the bridge. So as a transitional thing,
what do you do
instead of the F? I went from C to the D minor, and then I went into the bridge.
It's like a lift or a transition.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of a transition, a little bit of a transition piece there.
Wow.
You know, and I think when you're a self-taught songwriter, as I think most of us are, you do kind of stumble across these things, but it's actually a lot faster to gain knowledge if you actually spend some time in trying to look into this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some great videos on YouTube you can look at to find this out.
I film one of my songs, one that was quite popular actually with people, was called Nipigon from my album, and I was just fooling around one day with my guitar, and I came up with, I played this chord, it was like a wrong A minor.
Yeah.
You know, I had an A minor chord and I took something out.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until a couple months later when I got to the studio and I had an arranger putting the song together for a recording. He said, well, that's an A add 9.
Mm-hmm.
What's an A add 9? Well, there's a ninth in there. Okay. But it doesn't, what I'm saying is that I could have used some of this education back then because I would have intentionally added an A.
I
would have known what kind of eerie sound that is.
Yeah.
And also it helps, I mean, if you have something in mind, you can actually get there a bit faster as opposed to just trying to, you know, kind of bash around going, well, that doesn't sound right, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah. Well, and just mentioning the 9, like, I'm actually a big fan of using 9s.
Okay, before we talk about that, let's say what a 9 is, okay?
Yeah.
So what is a 9?
This is actually so simple, and when I went through all this school, and they described it to me, and I could never understand it. And then someone told me what it was, and it was so simple, it drove me, I was so angry that someone didn't explain it to me. When you have a chord, you have a first, a third, and a fifth, right? So what you do is you have your root note, you skip a note, which would be the second, and then add the third, skip a note, which would be the fourth, and add the fifth, right? So to add another note to it, which would be the seventh, you just skip a note, which would be the sixth, and...
No, the seventh.
The seventh.
Well, you're skipping the sixth.
Yeah. Now, actually, that's a flattened seventh. A normal seventh would be... But of course, that's a major seventh. So when you hear a G major seven, it's a G chord, but it has the major seven added, which is
jazz chord.
Yeah. And so for a ninth, you skip a note, which would be the octave, and you add the next one, which would be the ninth.
So it's the ninth note in the scale.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's the same as the second.
Yeah, but it's an octave up.
Octave up.
Yeah, because if you do like a second, it would be too close to the root, so it would kind of clash.
Oh.
So, yes. So there's your ninth chord.
Pretty woman.
Yeah.
And then a 13th is you skip a note and add that. So when you see a chord which is, you know, flat third or flat ninth, it's actually not that complicated. It's just you just skip a note and you add one.
Okay. that.
Yeah.
Now, when you choose a ninth, are you looking for a particular mood or style? Is it going to be
it's
different?
Usually, for me, it's usually tension. Like, again, if I'm playing in C, and I actually add. So if I've got a progression that's just the typical 1-4-5, right? We've got C. But if I take that C and actually add the 9, which is going to be up here, it works better on piano when you're doing arpeggiated. So if I were to do as opposed to.
Does everybody out there know what arpeggiating is?
Why don't we tell them?
It's just playing the individual notes as opposed to playing them all at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, you're plucking one string at a time or hitting one key at a time.
Nice. Very pretty.
Right, and you can do that with the seventh as well. Mm. I mean, that gives it a little bit of jazzy bluesy kind of formula.
That's the weird thing about chords, though, is you've got the root and then the third and the fifth are normal. Kind of the way they're played.
Yeah.
But in a chord, the seventh is usually flattened.
Yeah, it's usually kind of a blues thing.
Yeah.
To flatten it. You can keep it major as well.
Yeah, that's a major seventh.
Yeah.
That's what they call a major seventh.
Which is not quite as bluesy.
No.
But it still imparts...
It's more jazzy. Yeah.
It's more jazzy. Yeah. It does impart a certain tension and a certain kind of flavor as well.
Yeah.
So these are all tools. These are all choices that we can... put into our songs or not.
Another thing that I was, because doing the show is great because it really forces you to sort of sit down and go through all this stuff and go, oh yeah, how does that go? Is when you're choosing another chord and when you're writing a song, I think it's really, really useful, you know, because we normally roll right up and do this, you know, do your chords and go, ah, da, da, ba, 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 do, and then you come up with your melody, usually better than that.
That wasn't bad.
But is to actually figure out what those notes that you're actually singing are. Mm-hmm. That's really, because that actually will help you know, you know, like, are you playing the third? Are you going, duh? Are you doing a ninth? Are you doing an octave? And that helps you sort of understand the song a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it'll help you choose different chords, because if we had just like a simple melody, like, so you could have C. But when you're choosing other chords, you want to make sure that the other chords have your melody note still in them. So that's C, and then A minor still has that B, and then F, and then this is a D7, which still has that C in it. So it's that's why it's good to know what note you're actually singing.
When I write my songs, I write the lyrics first, then I would do the chord progression, and a melody comes to me.
Yeah.
I've never actually written the melody down on a staff.
Yeah. Well, you don't necessarily have to write it down. I mean, I never do, but it is very instructive to actually figure out what it is. You know, go da da.
Okay. I want to work more on my melodies. Like, I'd like to actually start a song.
Mm-hmm.
My next project, I'm going to start a song with just a melody on the guitar. I'm going to find a melody and I'm going to write it down or record it, and I'm going to build a song around that.
Yeah.
It's just something different.
That's a great way to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, for the folks at home, maybe we could use that example for my song, which is very, very simple.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, I'll take the guitar then. Neil, why don't you walk me through this? Because I don't know if you remember.
We started to do this when you presented it, yeah.
Well, I was on a couple weeks ago. This is Bruce. I was on a couple weeks ago, and I was the featured guest.
As the guest,
which is fine. And we did a song of mine that was called Caroline, and it went like this. A minor and G on the verse for your folks at home. And I did, it was one of the very first songs I wrote, and I thought, can I write a song with two chords? And I did.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's not as interesting as it could be. So, so Neil, what were your suggestions there on the, if we look at our Wheel of Life?
So here, if we look at our Circle of Fifths again, so you were going from A minor to G. So you could, if you just did the minor-major substitution, you could substitute the A minor for a C major, or you could substitute the G for an E minor.
Okay, well, let's start off. You play the song, like you play the verse, I guess, yeah.
Snow falls on the tulips in April.
okay, so that was, so you're playing, that's E minor?
A minor and G.
A minor and G, okay. So let's say, because you're doing that one part of the song where, oh, just got a tweet in from Sharon, the mysteries of music, those of us who just listen and appreciate are glad somebody understands it.
There you go.
Thank you. So you have that part where you're holding the G.
Yeah.
La, 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 la. Yeah. I wish I had something different there.
But so, you could do something there. So
you could instead of the G, you could opt for an E minor.
Oh, she'll never forget the lies. Oh, I like that. So go from the G to that.
Yeah, and then you can go back to the A minor, or you could even transition with.
Never forget the lies. The pain that just will not die.
Yeah. Ooh, that is nice. Yeah. Do that again.
So,
live radio, Jade, ladies and gentlemen.
No, do you want it again?
Yeah, please.
Oh. Yeah.
Falls by popular demand in April. Munich. Dark clouds hide the sunlight in April. Munich. But you'll never forget the lies. The pain that just will not die. That A minor with something?
With a C major.
Caroline cried. Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
See, there we have
eyes are open.
So you have like a pretty straightforward, you know, even if you're just writing a song and you've got a song that's complete with some basic chords, you can actually use these tips to make it a little bit more, and actually kind of, it actually suggests some more interesting melodies too.
I could do like a variation on the melody, which would naturally follow the change in the chord, the substitution when you go to that E minor.
But it doesn't pull, by doing chord substitution, it doesn't pull the melody away from your original idea too much.
It's in the same relative. It's in the same key.
It's in the same key.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I was writing songs when I was younger, and of course I'm only 25, shut up.
In dog years?
Remember, Janice is tweeting your picture.
No.
Okay, there's no getting away from
it. That's Photoshop.
She has a special getting older filter on it, I think.
When you wrote songs.
I remember like trying to find a different chord, and you'd do this sort of random chord, and it would sound kind of wrong.
Yeah.
And you would kind of force your way through it, but it never really sounded together. And, you know, this is one of those bits of information I wish I had, because I would have actually, saved time.
Can we talk about sevenths for a second? Because I remember the day I discovered sevenths. Is this a true story or is this just a myth? Apparently the early church, in their writing their church music, banned the seventh because they said that the seventh was evil.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's a C major. And here comes the C seventh. Yeah. Right? And an A minor, I guess. That weird seventh in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really, and what I find in that, and I play a C major, I say play a C seventh in a simple way. I just do, if you're, I've got the finger on the B here, here's the C chord. Mm-hmm. I just take away the C.
All right, that's a suspension, I believe, isn't it?
That's my favorite chord, if you want to know. It's a C major seventh, I think.
It's a sus.
It's a major seventh, is it?
It's a C, is it a minor seventh?
No, I think it's, because you have C.
And I take it, that's a C, and I take it away and come down to a B.
Oh, yeah, that would be the major seventh.
Yeah. Major seventh is a little bit cleaner, maybe, than the C.
Major seventh.
It's a little sad.
I wrote a whole song with those two chords. Yes. C major seventh. Major seventh. So, where would I find a seventh on this?
Well, the seventh is, I mean, the circle of fifths just shows the majors and minors, but the sevenths and the ninths and the thirteenths and things, those are just extensions of those. It's sort of a substitution. I think I'd consider it more of an extension because you're just extending the chord.
So
you're still in the same chord.
I have an F and I decide to do a D minor instead.
Yeah.
But before
do
you do that,
D minor ninth?
But before you do that, Bruce, why don't you tell us about something cool?
Oh, about, are we doing the station identification now?
I'm afraid we have to.
Okay. I guess I blew it because I said what it was. But we like to be transparent here at Song Talk.
You're all part of the family
you
now.
You can just come on in, and this is, the, well, it's 7:30, right? Yes. So for those of you just joining us, you're listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, Phil, Janice, and everybody. I don't know. We got a whole gang here on CJRU, 1280 AM. And tonight our guest is us. Don't forget, we love to hear you from, so tweet us your thoughts to Song Talk Radio, sorry, at Song Talk Radio, or email us at feedback.ca. We'll share your thoughts in real time. Wait a minute, you can't send an email to feedback.ca, feedback at songtalk.ca.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. And you can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca, which is our website, /resources. Well, this is very exciting. Coming up on Song Talk Radio in the coming weeks, we have April 12th, next Tuesday, Lucas Bozzo. He's from our meetup group. April 19th, we've got Priscilla Una. Is it Una?
One.
And then on April 26th, we've got a really talented singer and songwriter, Stephen Tates. If you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup on Wednesday, April 20th at 7 o'clock at the Transact Club. God bless them. There are supporters over there at the Transact
Fine
Club.
People.
They've been there for like 40 years or something, helping music grow in Toronto. It's free to join on the meetup page, and it's free to attend the roundtable. Go to songtalk.ca/meetup for all the juicy details. Back to you, Phil.
Thanks very much. Yeah, we just, 2 weeks ago, we actually had a repeat last show last week. But the week before that, that was the meetup, because that was the March. That was the March.
The show before the meetup?
Well, yeah. We had one on the 27th, yeah.
Yeah, on the 27th. That was that was actually very, very well attended, despite
it
being an Easter.
Yeah, it was Easter that day.
It was Easter Sunday, that's right.
It was Easter Sunday.
You know what was so cool that night is that after the our regular meetup, is like about 12 people stuck around. Mm-hmm. And there were all these little groups that warmed my heart because I looked around the room and there was this group around the piano doing duet. Mm-hmm. There was another group around a guitar helping somebody figure out the chord progressions. Somebody was over here with guitar and one was a composer, one was a producer or something. And it was just spontaneous collaboration was happening, which I've been dreaming about.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
So what I want to do now is maybe we can work out with the Transact and say, hey, can we stick around for an extra half hour?
Yeah.
And we could say to the people come to the meetup, stick around, collaboration time, right?
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because that's when it all kind of happens there.
Yeah, like a bunch of songwriters in a room, it's bound to happen,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Why don't we play your song, Neil?
Okay.
You know, the one with this that you...
That substitution.
So before we play, can you go through how you work that out?
So again, so listen
what
in
are
the
we
verse.
Listening for?
In the verse, so in the verse section, mm-hmm. it's an A minor and a D.
Can you do the melody?
I don't know the melody on the piano.
Well, no, just sing it. Just.
Yeah, so it was like, so it's like we've been together for years, and I guess we'll be together for a million more. But in all that time, I've never smiled or shed a tear. And that's a substitution,
right?
I never let my feelings out for show. I go back to the original progression,
right? Right. Okay.
Right? So it's that, and then in the chorus, it's she said, I never read her a song. So that's on the C and the F. But then on the very end of the second chorus, I go from she said, I never read her a song, into the D minor.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So that's the substitution for the F, and then it leads into the bridge, which
right.
I change key signatures completely in the bridge.
All right. Yeah, and you get the chords off the website for the song as well.
Yep.
If you want to follow along. So why don't we play that?
Yeah. Okay.
And
take a listen for those, those cues.
Yeah, have a listen. And there'll be a test. So
there'll be a test.
We'll be together for a million more. But in all that time I've never smiled or shed a tear, and I never let my feelings out for show. She said, I never write her a song. She's right, and I'm always wrong. Now I've got a yearning stirring deep inside. Or is it just because she asked out loud? Will I take pen to paper and write it right? Or choke up and admit it's all a fraud? She said, I never write her a song. I could do it, but it might take too long. She said, I never write her a song. Maybe all she wanted was a love song. How much she lovey-dovey and googly-eyed. But somehow I know she'll get it, the kind of love that comes from her clever guy.
That was, She Says I Never Write Her a Song by Neil Modi, her real Neil Modi.
Yes,
yeah. So it. there's lots of, this is quite a fancy song. There's lots of different chords to it and the bridge.
Yeah, there's like change. Seven or eight chords at least.
Yeah, and modulation at the end, right?
Modulation at the end.
Yeah, which is very, very fancy.
Modulations.
Yes. Now, Bruce, you were saying something before we interrupted you with the station ID about sevenths and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I didn't have much to say except that they really add color to a song, and they add mood and emotion. Like when I was writing this song, I was writing a song called "Lonely Girl," and it was kind of a writing exercise I was doing. Right, so I used C major 7 and F major 7 because she was alone at a phone booth. This was years ago when they had phone booths, right? Mm-hmm. No cell phones, and she's making this call and hoping that she can meet up with her lover, but there's no answer. Mm-hmm. And so when I used the 7th, it just really evoked this.
Yeah,
really, really sad sort of moves.
Yeah. I mean, the minors more haunting,
do that
too. Right?
Haunting. Yeah. I mean, the A minors do that too, but the 7th's just, there's something special about them. And so I guess for the folks at home there, you can, if you've got a major chord, just throw the 7th in and see what it does to your song.
Yeah.
As an experiment, right?
Well, especially I find if you're doing a verse, sometimes adding the variation towards the end of the verse before you go into a chorus or a bridge can actually just kind of give it that sort of variety. Tell us about some other kinds of substitutions.
Well, actually, the one thing I want to talk about, where's that circle of fifths diagram?
No, oh, I got one here.
We got one here.
Yeah, we got them all over the studio.
Another one. So this is, I mean, I encountered the circle of fifths way back when, like, when I first learned about music theory, like back in grade school or whatever, mm-hmm. right? But something I just learned literally this afternoon mm-hmm. is you can actually use the circle of fifths in a very interesting way. So say you're writing a song in the key of C. Mm-hmm. if you look at the pie slice that's got C and it lines up with A minor as a relative minor, like we talked about, if you go one pie slice to the left, you get the F, which is the fourth. If you go one pie slice to the right, you get G, which is the fifth. And underneath those, if you go inside the pie, you get D minor, A minor, and E minor, which those six chords are all the chords that are in the key of C.
Oh.
So you can literally build a song, just substitutions and whatever, using those six chords.
I have.
And surely many songwriters have. Now, the webpage I was reading today actually was an analysis of the Beatles music. Mm-hmm. And what the author was saying that the Beatles did quite a bit, they didn't know this at the time, they went one pie slice further to the left and one pie slice further to the right. So, and the author was saying that the further away you get from your bass key signature, the weirder it will sound. So we're talking about...
They go from a C to a B flat.
Yeah, so they'll throw in a B flat. They'll throw in a G minor.
Right.
They'll throw in a D major. They'll throw in a B minor. And if you go one pie slice even further than that, then it starts sounding a little bit stranger.
Okay. Still correct musically.
Well, I mean...
What's correct
musically, right?
It
sounds a little more dissonant.
Okay.
Right? It, depending on the configuration. But
you don't know.
But the point is that whatever key you're starting in, you just go one pie slice to the left or to the right, and you've got a bunch more chords you can work with. And if you want to experiment further, go another pie slice out and start playing with those chords.
As someone who's not an accomplished guitarist, and I have played in this arena, the F, D minor, C, A minor, and I'm talking about the chord and the relative. So F and D minor, C and A minor, G and E minor. I have used those a lot, those six chords in songs. Mm. So when I go to, say, a bridge or something, if I'm playing C, F, and G, I would automatically go to an A minor and a D minor as my bridgey, weirdy sound, right?
Yes.
So that was just intuitively to me, that sounded right.
Yeah. So if you wanted to, you could, for your bridge section, you could go one pie slice further out and go to a B minor or to a D.
I'd have to learn how to play those.
You know how to play a D major.
Oh, yes, I
can. There you go.
Oh, okay.
It's just, if you're writing a song in C, you typically wouldn't go to the D major.
Well, Phil, play us a chord progression then, using C, F, and G, and then throw in a D.
C, F, and G?
Yeah.
Of course, that's a fourth, I guess.
So you added a D.
It's G, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So it's a...
All right. Is that picking up the guitar?
Yeah, so that would be 1/4.
But then you're going to, like, the major 2.
Yeah, because that would be major, because if we're doing, keeping in... In the key,
it would normally be D minor.
Right? Yeah, because it'd be.
You know, we have a musician, another musician, accomplished musician, Janice Ho, in here, in the studio tonight. And I was just since she's here, like, what occurs to you as a question in your writing? Like, have you used chord substitutions consciously?
To be honest. Not a lot, but there was one time on a songwriting forum that I was on that we specifically did a creative challenge where we had to use chord substitutions. Because I think it's something that, I mean, that's the whole purpose of doing this show, is it's something that a lot of songwriters don't really pick up on or use intentionally. And I definitely have a habit of sticking to the simple, chords. And so I'm learning a lot just from listening to this show. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely want to take home one of those circle of fifth diagrams and use that the next time I write a song. Because I think it also, you know, creates some inspiration when you're in a rut and you feel like you're constantly producing the same types of songs, the same chord progressions, the same kind of sounding moods and things like that. Mm-hmm. So you can intentionally, you know, maybe replace some of the usual same old with something new. And, you know, even just we heard an impromptu thing of Caroline and how that just sort of picked it up and how excited
it opened
was.
It. Yeah, right? Yeah.
That was cool. Really cool.
And these are minor changes, right, that you're making. Or major.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
Dun, 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 dun.
No, that's really interesting. And do you think you're going to try that next time you write? Are you a bit inspired now?
I definitely will. I think I'll even use it as a reason to write a new song because I've definitely been in a bit of a rut lately. So.
Well, I think that's really good.
I've been in a bit of a rut for like 30 years. So I think it's time to try a chord substitution.
Well, I think it's important actually to give yourself some creative challenges because it is easy to kind of do the same thing that you do all the time. And
people talk about, you know, people say, I don't know if I can write songs. I don't know all the theory. Hmm. Well, I'm proof that you don't need theory.
Because
I knew very little theory.
Oh, yeah.
I learned to play the guitar when I was 15. And I learned C, A minor, F, G, D, E minor. I learned about 12 chords, right?
Yeah.
And then when I started writing, I found that I didn't need much more than that, really, to write the bones of a song. But then when I went to the recording studio and I worked with this guy who was a brilliant guitarist, he started putting in chord substitutions, I know for sure.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to Robbie, who was my guitarist and producer, co-producer on the album, I said, are my songs too simple? And he said, no, man. They leave me lots of room to play.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, that's it, you know.
He wasn't stoned either. He just talked like
that.
And I think you would discover this stuff naturally if you bash away at it, but it might take you 30 years of bashing away, and why waste your time when you can get the information right off?
Radio has saved all these people
exactly.
from these years.
I think so.
Well, I think the Beatles is kind of the test case for this because they didn't know theory, and somehow they especially later on in their careers, they really started playing with some experimental different chord patterns.
With George Martin,
it could have been George Martin's influence.
He'd say,
I don't know.
Hey, George, whatever, you know, George or Paul, try a ninth there.
Something. Yeah, you may have.
You said you found something about the Neapolitan?
So there's this Neapolitan chord substitution, which I didn't know about. And, I'll just play it here. The example they use is A minor, D minor, E minor, A minor. So that's your regular chord pattern. So A minor, D minor, E minor, and then back to A minor. So their substitution was take that second chord, the D minor, and play a B flat major instead. So you go in A minor, and then you go into B flat major, and then you go into E minor, and then back to A minor.
Oh.
So again, it just adds a little bit different color.
Why is it called Neapolitan?
I have no idea.
Naples?
Because it has a bit of strawberry and a bit of chocolate and a bit of vanilla.
Yeah.
So I think
it's probably Naples. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think it's always a good, I went through this period where I wanted to not do the standard, you know, fourth or fifth jump to a chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pushing myself to do halftone steps to go to the chorus.
Yes.
Which is really fun. I mean, it does, you have to be a little bit clever to get out of it, to get back into your verse key.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. And actually, if you go to my own website, thenoise.ca, Pull Me Away From You actually has that. It's the chorus of the halftone step away.
Okay.
And that's, it's a lot of fun, actually. But it's another way of just giving yourself a creative, you know, challenge to say, well, let's not do this. Give yourself a rule, which is every third chord is going to be a ninth.
Yeah.
And just sort of kind of bash away and then see what you can make, you know.
So no matter where you are, listeners, in terms of your progress as a songwriter, composer, if you're even at the starting point where you have maybe 9 chords on the guitar or you've been playing piano for a year or two, you can easily, using this circle of fifths, you can easily see how you might throw something in.
Mm-hmm.
So we encourage you to do that.
Mm.
Just have some fun and then let us know how it went.
We'd love to hear. We'd love to hear what you've done.
See how it changed your approach to writing.
And you can just go to YouTube and type in chord substitution, and there's lots of stuff on the guitar and the piano.
Yeah.
Both jazz and blues and lots of different styles.
The jazz stuff gets pretty crazy.
Yes. Now it can be kind of advanced, but there is some stuff that's basic. But also, one thing, if you live in Toronto and you have a Toronto library card, that gives you full access to the full load of the courses at lynda.com. for free.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah, and that's usually a $25 or $35 a month U.S., which is probably about $400 or $500 Canadian.
LYNDA.com.
I didn't know that.
Yes, and you get it's free access until Lynda.com realizes they're crazy.
So, I'm sure they've got an arrangement.
But do it, because they have lots of stuff, actually, especially if you're trying to record stuff at home, like on GarageBand or Sonar or whatever. Some courses about how to use that software. Because I know we were talking at the meetup, and some people were having some real trouble getting their heads around recording stuff at home. And, you know, if you have a laptop or a home computer, you've got, you know, more studio stuff than, you know, the Beatles did, really, for the first little while.
So Lynda.com helps you work with GarageBand?
They have courses, video courses.
Lynda.com has courses on everything imaginable.
Yes, on business, on software packages.
Quantum mechanics.
A lot of universities actually use them.
That's something I sometimes want to dip into on a Tuesday night.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun, actually. The quality is very high.
Yeah, it is very good.
Yeah.
There's one other, we actually have it until 8 o'clock.
We have to 8 o'clock.
Ooh. Yeah. There's one other substitution I want to. I don't know if this is a substitution per se, but I'm a big fan of this when I'm working. I write a lot of my songs in A minor. For some reason, that's kind of my go-to starting chord. Normally, in A minor, the fifth would be an E minor, but you can actually substitute that with an E major, especially at the end of a chord progression. So if you got, say, an A minor, a G, a C, which is all in key, and then you go to the E major instead of an E minor, and then come back to the A minor. So,
let me figure this out. So you're going A?
So instead of E, you're playing an A minor, and instead of E minor, you use E major. You're substituting the major for the minor.
So you go, you're saying you go A minor, then G.
And G, say.
G major?
G major, yeah.
And then C?
And C. And then E major.
So the E major becomes a turnaround.
Yeah, it works especially when just on the return, like when you're coming back to the A minor at the end of your progression, make the second last chord in E major.
It's like you're walking along a straight line, and you step off the sidewalk and dip your foot in
just for a moment.
Water for a moment,
yeah.
and then you come back on the sidewalk.
That's a very good analogy. Yeah.
Really nice feel to it. It's like this cool little...
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's very cool. I'm certainly going to try that on my next song.
That would be in E minor?
In A minor, yeah.
Which would be the fifth, right?
The fifth would normally be minor.
Oh, right.
But if you use the major instead, it kind of opens up the chord progression a little bit. Because you can't be minor all the time, right?
Yeah, it's true.
It's kind of dark.
I want to see you write a song in the key of C. Almost C and F. Happy song. You've probably written songs in that. Well, that's what this is. So not all your songs are in A minor.
No, not all. No. It tends to be a go-to, but not necessarily.
Yeah. Well, I think it also depends on if you compose on the piano.
Yeah.
But
and you don't want to use the black keys.
Yeah. Or you just use all the black keys.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a master at that, aren't you?
Yeah.
You can really make that. You can really make that sing.
Yes.
There's lots of other chord substitutions that you can get into. We're just really scratched the surface. There was a lot of information we were throwing out today. So.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a test now then? We'll find out if Janice remembers all.
Yes, that's right. Because Janice isn't working hard enough.
Exactly.
Yeah,
well,
Janice
certainly
tweeting all this.
Well, you can certainly catch this on podcast and
listen
to it again.
Yeah, it's a show. Yeah. It's a show I think worth studying, and as a podcast, then it's kind of an instructional thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to listen back to it and take more notes.
Yeah, and we'll put some resources up on the song post.
There's some really good YouTube videos that you can find.
It might be worth saying, Phil and Neil, that every week we take the show and we do an entry on our website on songtalk.ca. So you can go there after you've listened to the show, or if you've never heard the show, is more like it. You land on the page, and it'll show a picture of the artist, a title. It'll have a description of what went on in the show and some of the highlights of the show with links to websites, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So you can listen back to any of the shows we've done to learn something from any of the artists. I mean, we're doing a specific show on theory tonight, but every single show of ours, I've learned something from the artist who's been here.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Because we've had people who are just brilliant guitarists, and they're doing way different kinds of music and all that, and it's the spirit of just listening and learning, right? It's
yeah.
You could never learn everything about music. It's like there's so much.
But one thing I want to mention also is that if the people listening out there have a subject that they'd like us to cover, let us know, because then we can always come up to it. Because I know you've been talking about doing this chord substitution show for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
you know. Bachman does that.
Yes.
On his show. People call in. And,
right, right.
And then we'd actually say your name. Like, if you come up with a good idea for a
show, yes.
We would name you on the radio.
We would, and we would put up your website and everything.
Yeah.
And, so and you'll get those, you'll get tens of visitors.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. So send us show ideas if you want it. Mm-hmm. If you like this one, let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, of course, the last thing, maybe this goes without say, but, you know, when you're playing around with all these different chords and things, it's still got to feel right. It's still got to sound right to you. Don't just throw weird chords for the sake of throwing weird chords. Like, it's still got to flow, and it's still got to be a good song.
Well, and I know when I was starting to write songs, I would just throw these weird chords in because you wanted something different, but you didn't know, so you'd kind of force it through, and it never really sounded good.
Exactly.
And that's the main thing. And there's nothing wrong with actually starting off with a very straightforward chord progression and working up like a good melody.
Oh, yeah, that's all.
And then from that, then adding, you know, some more ornamentation with your chords.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
the substitution is kind of like the icing then?
In some ways,
ornament it or
exactly. You can start with a basic chord progression and then develop it into something a little bit meatier.
I love metaphors. So it's kind of like building a house. And then you might add a special treatment to one of the windows or paint the door red, right? So you have the house, you have the structure, which is standing and strong.
Yeah.
And then someone comes to the door with pizza and you eat it.
That's right.
Is that what it's like?
I think it's like
an old man returning soup from a deli.
I think it's more like a renovation. Like you're actually tearing down the kitchen and building a new one that's more high tech.
Okay. So you create something totally new. Then.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're substituting, right? You're taking something out and you're putting something different in.
Okay. Yeah. Tear down the front door and put the screen door in.
But I think it may be that time.
Yeah. Well. We welcome you to send us all of your responses and
all that. I think Phil has to say. Yes, I do. Because that's all the time we have tonight on Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, Phil, and Janice and Nicole. We'd like to thank our guest, Music Theory. Thank you, Music Theory, for coming. Hope to see you again. And you can see Music Theory at any bar if you drink enough. And send us your impressions via Twitter at Song Talk Radio, via email at feedback@songtalk.ca, Facebook, and at YouTube, Song Talk Radio. And stop by the website at songtalk.ca and find out how you can be a guest on this very show. And also subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And don't forget, you can sign up for our free newsletter at songtalk.ca. It comes out once a month or so, depending on the game we are. And you can find links to all the products, books, and services we mention here on Song Talk Radio at our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. Please go there and click one of the links. If you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters and Roundtable meetup on Sunday, March 27th.
Wednesday, April. Yes. We got last month's text.
There. I do. At 1 p.m. at the, or no, 7 p.m. at the Transact Club.
I'll say it. Wednesday, April 20th at 7 p.m. at the Transact Club.
Yes. And don't forget, it's free to join on meetup.com and free to attend the roundtable. So stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all those details. We'd like to thank CJRU 1280 AM for putting up with us. We'd like to thank Janice O for manning the social media channels. Ooh. Thank you, Janice. And of course, our newest crew member, Nicole
DiDonato.
Thank you. And we'd like to thank, of all the people, you, the home listener. So if you're on Twitter, you can follow Neil at
Mondo Art.
You can follow Janice at
Janice O'Tweet.
You can follow Bruce now at
Bruce Harrett.
You can follow me at Focus Creative. And you can follow Nicole at
Nicole Kate.
Nicole K.
DiDonato. Nicole K. DiDonato. So, DiDonato. Yes, and please stop by the website at songtalk.ca to browse past shows and find out how you can be a guest on this very show. That's all the time we have tonight. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. It was a lot of fun.
It's great.
And I've learned a lot.
It's great to be on the radio.
And on the radio.
On the AM dial.
And we'll see you back here on 1280 AM, Toronto's Talking His Talk. Same bat time, same bat channel. Good night.